Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Everybody, and welcome to the 75th episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. I am a hard man with harder opinions, Andrew, and of course with me is Jonathan, the stupid awesome analyst.
Hello.
Today, it's just the two of us again. We're going to do a little bit of a focus on a specialty episode. We haven't talked about it in a long time, so we're going to focus on revitalizing the starter kit.
Yeah. Recently, we've been showing people anime, and...
Yeah, well, last episode we had Victor Jump on as a new potential voice on our show, which people seemed to respond to pretty well.
Although they couldn't hear him very well.
Yeah, he was a little foggy.
He's got an old computer.
Well, and he doesn't have a microphone, but we're aware of this fact, and we've told him to get a microphone or we'll kill him.
Yeah.
You know?
He responds well to threats.
So, anyway, through our adventure with Victor there, we gave him a whole bunch of anime. We actually sat down and watched anime with him almost for an entire day.
Yeah, he said, guys, I watch too much damn shonen stuff. Yeah, I need to get rid of it.
Branch me out from shonen, because that is like his main focus of anime. So we're going to get to that in the topic today. But of course, first we're going to kick off some news.
News? That was the bell.
Yeah, you can't really differentiate.
We're not going into news, although we are going into news, but the news bell is news, as you all know. News, that's what the bell sounds.
So what do we have?
I got this really cool story that I want to start off with. I saw it on my news feed today. It was actually from Business Insider. Mm-hmm. So from Business Insider, we have this report of the Shimizu Corporation of Japan wants to build solar panels on the moon to provide infinite energy for Earth. They have a plan of building a solar farm because one side of the moon is always facing the Earth. That's why we have the man on the moon, you know, that whole thing. It's because all the same craters are always facing towards them. So they want to build a solar farm that will shoot lasers and microwaves down to Earth when it collects energy and it gives us energy. I don't know I don't even know where to begin with the science on that, but everybody's like, this is a great idea.
It is a great idea.
If you can pull it off, it's amazing. But okay, so, but I mean, you need a lot of solar energy in order to collect to bring down to Earth, so their fields that they're planning on building is 6,800 miles of farm, which is a really, really big amount of solar panels.
Yeah, I'm not a NASA scientist, so I've never studied how big the moon actually is, but that sounds like a pretty large portion of the moon, and you might be able to see it from space.
Could you imagine, like, looking up at the moon and no longer seeing the craters on the moon or anything like that?
They draw solar panels of smiley faces.
They actually make the man on the moon, so it's like, oh, okay, that actually makes sense to me
now.
Oh,
it actually just looks like a picture of, like, David Bowie or something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, David Bowie's on the moon.
Yeah, Mission Control to Major Tom. Yeah. They're also considering, like, in their most Japan way possible, it's like, you know, hey, that's a lot of work for humans. We can't send up a whole lot of humans to set up 6,800 miles.
That was my next question.
Yeah, well, it's certainly an appropriate question. I'm pretty sure that was the first question on everybody's mind. Who are you going to get to do that?
Who's going
to
stay on the moon and build solar panels?
They're not. They're going to do it with robots.
Really?
They're going to send, in the most Japan way possible, they're going to send robots up to the moon and have them build panels, and it's going to be under human supervision. So there are going to be people watching the robots.
What? Human yeah. supervision?
Yeah, and just in case there's a moon uprising and suddenly suddenly robots own the moon.
Yeah, and they're just like, we don't want to do this. A strike, robot strike.
Yeah, and then, you know,
no more solar panels.
Get back to work, your machinery.
Equal pay for equal robots.
Yeah, and then they move on to the dark side of the moon, where we can't get them because we can't go over there, but they can live there because they're just machines.
Because, and it's really cold. Oh, I don't know, they might freeze over, but then there has to be robot rights, and we have to treat them equally. And,
equal pay.
You know, even though they're just equipment, and we own them, but...
That's not some kind of allegory to what's going on now or anything like
we
that.
We are your god robots!
So I don't even know how long a project like this was going to take. It's super ambitious, but it's super brilliant, and I like the idea. I like science. I like the moon. Let's turn it into a solar panel and give us energy forever.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally cool with that. The same thing with, like, the wind turbines. They were talking about putting in windmills and wind turbines at the end, across the horizon of the ocean.
Yeah, you know what it makes me think? That
would be awesome.
You know what it makes me think of? You remember that ride in Disney in Mission to Space? After you get off the ride, there's that control center, and you can play that game where some people are mission control, and then some people are on the ship, yep. And they have to repair the ship.
Yep.
It kind of reminds me of that. Like, there will be people on Earth with joysticks moving stuff around, for like moving the robots around, and then, you know, the supervisors will be like, go up to these cameras and it's like, hey, stop doing that. But it'll be like a half hour transmission, like from the Martian. So anyways, there's no weather or anything on the moon, so because there's
that's
no,
right, yeah, this is important.
There's no elements on the moon or anything like that to create clouds or rain or anything, so it'll be a constant yeah, it'll just be constant sun, because they're always on opposite ends of each other. The moon is always facing the sun in some way or form, and so we'll always get constant energy as long as the lasers and microwaves can make it down to Earth. I think that's fascinating.
It is.
Next up in news, this is actually anime related, but it's not technically, because it's actually Hollywood related, and I think that most of you know what this is going to be about, because we've been talking about it a lot. Where Robert Rodriguez has signed on as the director for the Battle Angel Alita movie that James Cameron has been producing for 50 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So Robert Rodriguez is now this director on this project that James Cameron has been working on forever. And is Robert Rodriguez the best choice for a Battle Angel Alita movie?
No.
I don't know. I'm very skeptical about that. He did Machete, right?
Yes.
Machete. I mean, if you think about Battle Angel Alita and the action in that movie, Battle Angel Alita is not a grindhouse film. And then he also did...
It could be, though.
It could be. But then he also did Spy Kids.
Yeah.
So if you took...
But then he did Planet Terror as well, which is a grindhouse.
Yeah, which is also a grindhouse. So if you took the grindhouse aspect of all his other movies and put it to Spy Kids technology stuff...
No. No.
No? You're not on board with it at all?
No. It sounds stupid. I don't know. I suppose Robert Rodriguez could do something of like that, but...
What part would Danny Trejo play?
Yeah. And when would he die?
Yeah. No, I don't think he would. I think he would be the professor who finds Alita. Oh, man, look, I found this robot in this garbage.
Battle Angel Alita. I'm going to call her Alita, and then she'll be fine. I don't know. Danny Trejo.
Okay, so Battle Angel Alita is awesome. For anybody who hasn't seen it, It's like the most, one of the best, most classic cyberpunk mangas ever. It's super renowned. You can find the mangas anywhere, pretty much, especially Last Order. Last Order's out.
We actually talked about this in one of our video episodes, which was the Hollywood American adaptions of anime stuff.
But we only touched on it slightly because there's no information about it.
And there's no real evidence that it's the case, but if you've seen the movie Elysium with Matt Damon, then that is very close to what Battle Angel
Alita is. It's parallel. I mean, the fact that there aren't robots in it is the only thing that's really different. Like, let's say...
But the rich people live in the sky and the people live on the trash planet down below.
And they want to go up to the... Yeah, and they want to go up to the world, and that's Alita's purpose.
The top of the sky.
Yeah, and that's Alita's purpose, is that she wants to go up there and along with everybody else, but she's an android that was built, and she fights other robots and stuff, and oh my gosh, it is such an awesome action-packed series. Battle Angel Alita, if you ever want to read a really cool action, totally check it out. And who would you cast in that movie either? Besides Danny Trejo. Danny Trejo is a must because it's a Robert Rodriguez film.
Well, maybe Zorro there.
Antonio Banderas?
Antonio Banderas.
That would be kind of cool. But maybe. Who would play Alita? Because it's weird, because she's like this little girl in the first series. She's almost like a little child, and then she gets turned into...
And she looks super 80s, super 90s anime
yeah.
girl.
Yeah, like, one of the weird things about Battle Angel Alita, though, is that the author, I forget his name right now, he was also the illustrator, he really likes big lips. So, like, his...
That was just an 80s style.
I don't really know, it was kind of his thing, but all of the women in his manga have pouty lips. He loves big lips, luscious lips.
Which and, I don't get. I don't like that.
So they're all. It almost seems like all of his characters are making some semi duck face.
Yeah.
But even still, his character designs are awesome. I like it. I think that all the characters.
Oh no, he makes it work. He absolutely makes it. He makes it appealing because it's really hard to make that appealing.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't always do it all the time.
Well, it's a lot more plastic this day and age, whereas natural luscious lips are probably a lot more appealing.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of movies that we really have no idea whether they're going to be good or not, Power Rangers update.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're actually casting for the Lionsgate Power Rangers movie.
So Naomi Scott, we already discussed, was announced as the Pink Ranger.
Yeah, she hasn't really done anything at all.
Yeah, speaking of somebody who hasn't really done anything is Decree Montgomery, or Dacre, D-A-C-R-E.
Help.
It's, somebody. That's not a real name, so this isn't a real person, but he's playing the Red Ranger. Okay, and so we have the screenplay co-writers of the Thor and X-Men First Class, so that's a good thing. And a Lionsgate, they're saying mature but playful Power Rangers movie with this weird cast of MTV age kids.
Okay, well, let's think about this, though. Power Rangers has never been known for its cast.
This is
ever.
No, but that's true, but you can't have a cast that just like the original campy, you know, Bulk and Skull and JDF and all those cool Johnny on Bosches, and I just don't know. I'm not looking, because they look, the kids that they're choosing just look so photogenic, and they look so MTV millennial age brats. Like, I just not looking forward to
teenagers
it.
With attitude.
Yeah, I know. I need teenagers with attitude. It's so true, but it better be good. It better be good. If it's not, you're gonna hear about it on the show because we run a media thing, and that's what we do.
Will it be better than Power Rangers Turbo?
You mean Turbo, the Power Rangers movie?
Yeah, a Power Rangers movie.
Probably. I don't think it's that hard.
What about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie?
Nope. Never. As destructive and...
Incomplete.
And incomplete and horribly written as it was because of all the production issues that they had on that thing. No, I don't know. This could be better than that. But these are all, like, Project Almanac actors. Like, they were all in that MTV movie, Project Almanac.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, that...
Produced by, what's his name, Michael Bay on that movie?
I don't know.
I think he was.
Possibly. That movie was stupid.
Michael Bay's Power Rangers.
Stupid MTV movies. Actually, I forgot to mention that story came from Gerardo. I have another story that came from Gerardo as well, within the gaming realm of we officially has made, the new record for the first Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo. The fastest speedrun that's been completed.
Really?
Yeah. So the record beforehand was 4 minutes something.
What? I mean, that's really fast.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that fast.
Yeah. They have a video of it and everything. It's actually really impressive. So this person beat the record in 4 minutes and 57 seconds. That's how fast you can beat the first Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
It came down to milliseconds. It was 66 milliseconds is how much faster he beat the record.
Are you kidding me? So he made 4 minutes and 56 seconds.
No. 4 minutes, 57 seconds, 0.627.
Wow.
So the other person beat it in 4 minutes and 57 seconds too, but it was 4 minutes and 57 seconds, 6.92 or something.
They have this really down to a complete science.
Yeah, it's like a Guinness Book of World Records kind of a thing.
That is incredible. Did you see that video with Super Mario Maker? There was this level that somebody made that was the most impossible Mario level.
No.
And this guy made it. He made it through the level and he started crying. Because, like, there are people who make these absurd Mario levels in Super Mario Maker, but they're actually completable.
Yeah.
But this guy, he made one that he was actually, like he was actually tired from doing it. And then when he beat it, he broke down and he was crying. Oh, if I can find it, I'll put it in the description.
Yeah, well, I want to see it, too. I didn't see that.
Yeah. So did you hear the news about Konami denying that Kojima ever left their company?
Yes.
I don't know what their game is, but they're trying to hold it together for as much as they can, saying, no, Kojima has not left Konami. He and his team are just all on a really extended vacation.
Hmm.
Does anybody believe in them? Probably not.
I don't think anybody's fooled by that.
No, because Kojima has already been pretty upset. He's like, no, he'll be back. He's just mad. He's going to come back. He's just a little upset right now. We'll give him his space. But
yeah, I hope he's mad. He should be mad.
He should totally be mad. But yeah, so Konami thinks that Kojima's coming back. They're in denial, or at least they are for the press. And if they're trying to smooth something over, if they're talking to him and telling people that, you know, he's going to come back, but they haven't really negotiated anything yet, who knows? Anyways, a fan sent this one to us, but I don't remember who. But this comes from Senkaku Complex. I haven't been there in, like, so long. But this article interested me to the point where I did some research on it. And there's now a visual novel out there that a company is putting together that teaches you English.
Yeah.
Or no, not teaches you English, teaches you Japanese.
Teaches you Japanese. Yeah, yeah. I did see that.
Or, you know, like, I guess it's a vice versa trade that you can learn one and the other. So yeah, there's the visual novel out there. However, I did some digging, and you can find in the comments that people are like, wait a minute, this game looks really familiar. And apparently, this game is taking CGs from another game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they have taken license from another game and took their CGs, which they took from an Eroge. And I don't think this one that's coming out is an Eroge.
An Eroge that teaches you things.
You know, well, I think that was... I thought when I first saw this article, I thought that this was a marketing scheme. I thought that was the purpose of this, was that it was going to... Like, you learn a new language and it rewards you with Eroge. So I thought that's what was happening, but I guess it's not. But the pictures that they were putting in the article seemed really suggestive. I mean, the teacher who is the one who's teaching you English, she's quite well endowed, maybe like a J-cup. and there's like pictures of her blushing and everything like that. Like, there's going to be something coming. But I don't know. It's really weird. And I think it's brilliant. I would totally buy a visual novel to learn Japanese or English, whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
If it had Eroge in it, you know, would that sweeten the deal? Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But that's all I have for gaming news.
Yeah, I don't have any gaming more gaming news.
So is it time for some strange news then?
Do you have strange news?
I do have some strange news. I actually have a couple pieces.
Interesting.
First being that, did you hear about the largest Yakuza branch in Japan? Like, they're like the Yakuza headquarters.
Uh-huh.
Seeing that we're just past Halloween.
Well, when this episode comes out.
When this episode comes out, yeah. We haven't hit Halloween from the recording. But when this episode comes out, we're past Halloween. But did you know that this year, the largest Yakuza branch did not hand out their annual candy bags this year?
Huh. No.
From the pictures that I saw online of them doing it last year, it looked really nice. Like, there was a old Yakuza guy out there in his white sweatshirt handing out these giant bags of candy to these little kids. And their parents would be with them. And there was a table with purple bags on it. And the old Yakuza guy would hand out the bags to the kids. And it was really cute looking. And, you know, like all the other, there were other Yakuza guys and they were dressed in suits and stuff like that. But they were sitting around, they were smiling at the kids and stuff. And it's really weird how the Yakuza works, isn't it?
Yeah, it runs like a business.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of really respect, like a huge amount of respect. It's very family and business based, just don't piss them off because they'll kill you.
Yeah. Well, there's this, that's just it too. There's a reason for, a speculation reason for it anyways. This actually hasn't been proved yet. That the reason why they're not doing it this year is because there have been a couple groups of people in that Yakuza organization that have moved on to start off their own branches. And whenever that happens, there's kind of like this uneasy ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're trying to do is keep the public out of it. So they're going to skip Halloween this year so that they avoid any, if there's any potential violence that's gonna take over. But that's just speculation. That hasn't been proven or anything yet. But I just found it funny that this was like a huge thing that, oh man, the Yakuza are handing out candy. You know? And even just seeing like the pictures of the little kids taking candy from Yakuza.
Well, like, I mean, and we have baseball players that live, like professional baseball Red Sox players that live in our town.
Yeah.
Here in Braintree.
We can point at their house.
Yeah. And they would, I remember when we were younger during the Halloween days, they'd be like, oh, they hand out Beanie Babies. Remember Beanie Babies?
Yeah.
Like they would, that's what they would give away for Halloween is they'd give a Beanie Baby to the kids.
And back like, then that was like, what?
Yeah, what? That is awesome.
That's like the equivalent of
a trash bag filled with candy.
probably, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe just a trash bag filled with Furbies or something. Yeah.
Whoops, you don't need that trash bag. Like, I just imagine like they're handing trash bags of candy and then they hand them a trash bag of like a dead body. And it's like, whoops, wrong trash bag, kid. There you go.
That was supposed to go in the trunk.
So, that's upsetting.
I got one more strange news story, though, mm-hmm. And this one is awfully strange. So, you know how everybody kind of has that fear of doctors? How, you know, I wasn't sick until I went to the doctors.
Uh-huh.
And there are people out there who just don't go to the doctors because they're too afraid to go. I'm there, I'm right there with you. I have a fear of the doctor, and I hate going to the doctor to figure out, oh, you know, they're going to find something wrong with me, and then I'm going to die later, and that's why I don't like going to doctors, you know. But it's important to go to the doctors, they're your friend. But there was this guy in China,
mm-hmm.
who I think he was somewhat in his 50s. The article didn't say his name or anything like that, because I guess he's been humiliated enough by this. Anyways, this man has been suffering for years, like decades, with hemorrhoids.
Okay.
And he never went to the doctors for them. Never, because it's embarrassing, right? You don't want to go to the doctors and tell the receptionist, who's usually a nice young lady, and go like, hey, I got boils on my butt.
You know, that's another thing, though, is no matter what you go to the doctors with, the doctor has always seen worse.
Always. Always seen worse. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that you shouldn't be afraid of. So this guy had that fear, though. He was like, it's embarrassing, I don't want to do that. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remove my own hemorrhoids with this 10-centimeter toy sword that I own.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a toy sword?
Yeah. It was a toy sword, like 10 centimeters long, and he would cut off his own hemorrhoids on his bum with this centimeter sword. So, you know, hemorrhoidal remover procedures or whatever, you know, if you remove them or if you take substance for them to get rid of them.
Preparation H.
Yeah, anything like that to get rid of them, you know, it's very standard. Cutting them off is not very standard. So when the procedure comes down to it, especially doing it yourself, when it comes down to it, that is extremely hard to do. So he had to set up this position where somehow, you know, he would be trying to remove them, and then suddenly, whoops, my foot slipped and I fell on the ground. Where'd the sword end up?
Okay.
Yeah. So he sat on his sword now, and it ended up in a place where nobody would want a sword.
Yeah, that thing's never coming out.
Ever. So he goes to the doctors at that point, because now he kind of has to go to the doctors. He's got a sword in his rectum, you know, so it's like, yeah, I guess I should go to the doctors. So he calls an ambulance, he goes to the hospital, and they're asking him, okay, so how did this happen? Well, I was trying to remove my hemorrhoids with it. And then they're like, okay, cool. So we'll run some tests, we'll remove the sword, which happened. He's recovering. Lab tests come back. Hey, sir, you never had hemorrhoids.
What?
Yeah, you never had hemorrhoids.
What?
This made Chinese news, by the way. This was a news story that was on their local networks, and everybody saw it for the world to see. So a man embarrassed to go to the doctors for having hemorrhoids ended up being embarrassed for having a sword stuck up his butt for removing hemorrhoids he never had.
Hemorrhoids. Oh, okay. So there's your lesson. Go to the doctors.
Yeah. And that's another one of those things, too, is, like, everybody's always paranoid about going to the doctors, but I would never stick... I don't think I would ever, like, use a foreign object to remove something from my body. It's just, oh man.
And then the sword exploded.
Yeah, but that is as strange as it gets.
That's as strange as it gets.
That guy's making international news now. First it was just the doctors that he's embarrassed about. Now it's all of China, and now it's in America now too.
That's right.
So congratulations, man. That is all we have for news. And that most certainly is as strange as it gets. So why don't we take one more step over to find out what Japan's Fetish of the Week is? So, okay, this Fetish of the Week, we have, everybody likes their fragrances, they have air fresheners, they got those plug-in things, you know, and everybody likes, ocean breeze, you know, sky smell, it smells like the sky and everything like that.
Okay.
So, Japan.
Is this coming to a fetish?
Okay. You know how Japan has some really weird fragrances They've had, like, even things like urine and okay. Stuff like that at a time. Yeah, it's not as bad as that, I don't think. But it is pretty weird. So if you ever needed, you know, a bachelor pad to smell better or anything like that, how about the fragrance of a bath towel of a woman who just got out of the shower?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you even capture that smell? Yeah. Seriously.
It's so specific, too. It's bath towel, post-shower
of a female.
Yeah, woman.
Yeah. How do you even mix those fragrances? Where do you even get them? You can probably get bath towel with fabric softener or something like that. But how do you get freshly showered female? Female sweat? I don't know.
No. No, because this maybe just
like a popular shampoo brand or something.
Yeah,
like
right.
That,
yeah, but, that's what I would be thinking. Yeah, that's weird. It's the same. I guess it would go along with the same as like sky breeze. It's like, well, what does it smell like?
It smells like the sky.
It smells like the sky.
Yeah,
yeah, it smells like the sky. So you know, you just like okay, post shower woman towel. I wonder what that smells like. Post-shower woman
smells
towel.
It smells like a towel, yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah.
Now it's Japan's Fetish of the Week! So I say that it's time to move on to our probably biggest portion of the show today.
Yeah, this will be busy.
Which is going to be the new season of anime. What we're watching. And, oh man, we are watching the new season of anime.
Well, because I'm not only watching the new season of anime. Uh-huh. There's, like, other stuff on top of this that makes it huge.
Well, for sure. So should we start with the biggest one that we saw last week, which was the Boruto movie?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was like, okay.
So, there have been stupid things going around saying... Or split in half, you know, Boruto is good and Boruto is bad.
Screw those people.
Yeah, anybody who says the Boruto movie was bad is stupid. Now, here's the thing. Everybody knows that, you know, I've been reading, catching up on Naruto. I'm actually in the final stretch of Naruto until, of course, the Boruto Sarada Gaiden comes out. Then I will actually have all of the Naruto mangas, which is weird to think. I never thought I would have that in my life.
Yeah, and only a couple months, too.
Yeah, I burned through it. So I'll be perfect amount of time for Storm 4 when that comes out for the PlayStation 4. But either way, we went to go see Boruto, and it was great.
It wasn't great. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So I am not really familiar with everything in Naruto. I have a very basic knowledge of the lore, mm-hmm. where, you know, I know the relationships of the characters, I know who all the characters are, So I know the relationship of the characters, I know who all they all are, but I don't know the basis of the story. Like, I know that you're reading about Naruto's parents now and everything like
yeah,
that. And
I'm in the Great War, the Great Ninja War.
And I know nothing about that. I know that, you know, Naruto's the hero, everybody thinks Sakura's annoying, Hinata likes Naruto, I know who all the other characters are, and I know that everybody hates Sasuke. No, sorry, everybody loves Sasuke, but they have no reason to.
Yeah, no, I hate Sasuke.
Yeah,
well, he's okay, but it's
No.
I mean, I still don't like Sasuke. I think he's not that great of a character. Which is a completely unpopular opinion. I actually think Sakura is a much better character, much more well-rounded character than Sasuke will ever be. But
slinging blasphemy there.
I know, but he's making. I'm just gonna finish it, and it'll be different. But you know when it. I'm getting so many reviews of saying, but you didn't read this portion and that's what you need to know. I was like, no, I should just always like Sasuke. It shouldn't matter what portion he's going at. If he's making smart character decisions, then I would like him no matter what, you know. Yeah. But that doesn't discredit. I love Naruto. I love Musashi Kishimoto's work. He's incredibly talented. And I don't know. I'm a Naruto fan. I've been a Naruto fan for a long time. So.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Boruto. The movie takes place in, you know, obviously, let's just cut to the chase, that Naruto is the Hokage now. He's the seventh Hokage.
Everybody should know this.
Yeah, right. It's more or less common knowledge now. It's not really a spoiler. Like, if it was spoiled for you at any point, then you're just way too far behind. Because even I know it, and I haven't read a single chapter of Naruto in maybe 5 years. He's the Hokage, and he has a son named Boruto.
He's, they're going into the Chunin exams.
Right, they're going to Chunin exams, and so they're being trained by, who's the kid?
Boruto's, cell, his ninja cell, which is Sarada, Boruto, and...
some other mystery kid.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Like, anyway, they're all in the movie, and they're all... under the guidance of Konohamaru, which is Naruto's pupil. So, it's really interesting because you have, like, this really cool lineage of student and master.
Generations. Yeah, you can really see the generations. Relationships.
It's really cool. It's yeah. really good stuff.
And the story takes place, like, in the age of technology, so it's almost like it's reflecting on exactly what's happening right now. You don't need ninjutsu in order to use ninjutsu anymore. They're these scientists who created these mini scrolls that you can put in this little device and you can just shoot lightning from your hands without using any chakra whatsoever.
It's a really awesome play on
your smartphone thing.
Yeah, like your generation's old. I don't need your technology or your knowledge anymore because my generation has my technology. Basically, when children are being brats.
Yeah.
In this day and age, and that's what they're playing off of in this the idea with this movie.
So Boruto wants to be the best. They all want to go into the Chunin exams because they need a team of three.
Boruto doesn't necessarily want to go into the Chunin.
No, he doesn't. But Sarada needs a team of three because she wants to become Hokage one day.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Boruto wants to become a shinobi, though. He does want to become a shinobi. And what better way... And, oh yeah, he has home relationship issues with his dad because his dad's busy being the Hokage and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, what happens, you know, at that point is that... who better to spite your dad than to be trained by your rival? So, he wants Sasuke to be his teacher, who is Sarada's dad.
They're friends now, though, is a thing.
Yeah. And so you have this portion where Boruto meets Sasuke, and there are these points where Sasuke and Naruto are talking with each other. And Sasuke is a really cool character.
Yeah, so...
like, amazingly cool.
Yeah, so they made all the right story writing choices in Boruto for Sasuke.
Yeah.
Whatever his weaknesses were as a character during the manga or the early days of Shippuden, they're no longer there.
Yeah. All the characters in Boruto were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you first meet everybody... Boruto comes jumping in, and then Sarada comes jumping in after him, and the first time you see her, she immediately has this super deformed face on her, the same exact one that Sakura would make, and I never expected that out of her. I always expected Sarada to be Sasuke's child, not Sakura's.
Yeah.
You know, but Sarada takes after Sakura, that really high strung, let's go. But she's also very calm and collected and focused and has a plan.
Yeah.
You know?
My favorite thing about Sarada was her voice actress.
That was so funny. The very first line that she says in the movie where she is like, "Hey, Boruto," you know, and I hear you four seats down. Yeah. Oh, it's so perfect.
Yeah,
like the second she says her first line, and I just hear you go down the line. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
She's so cute.
Yeah. Her voice is so perfect. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And it was. It was just such a good movie. And I would say that this is probably the best thing that has ever come out of Naruto, ever.
It's very possible.
And it's perfect in the fact that it is the best send-off that we could have gotten. It's the very last thing that ever made that is going to be Naruto.
Yeah. And
which is a sad thing to say.
So, but my hope is that, because Masashi Kishimoto, essentially the voice actresses and everybody who was playing them were just like, "It was so much fun, I want to do it." And Masashi Kishimoto said, "I'm tired." So, like, because, yeah. I mean, for the past 30 years of his life, almost, he's been doing manga week to week. He has, like, 8 assistants helping him out, and he has to pump out a chapter of Naruto every week. That is ridiculous. That's absurd. So he wants to move on to a different story. He wants to make a sci-fi story, which is rumored, which is really cool. But I'm still hoping, as this new world that he's created within the Naruto universe, that maybe even, I don't know, every 6 months he'll give us an extra Gaiden or an extra chapter of Boruto.
Or maybe we'll just get a second Boruto movie at some point.
Yeah, and he'll be the consultant.
Yeah, because I would watch the hell out of more Boruto.
Yes.
But that being said, this Boruto movie was absolutely perfect closure. There were answers. There was nothing left up to mystery. You know exactly what's going to happen. Like they put enough context clues in the movie that when you watch it the first time through, you know exactly what's going to happen in the future. You know? Yeah. You know exactly what's going to happen. And it was perfect. It was so good. There was redemption. There was, you know, love. There was action. The action was awesome. The bad guys weren't that bad.
See, and the action was well balanced as opposed to other Naruto movies where it's just like, let's make masturbatory material.
Yeah.
And it's just awful. Like, it's the worst thing you've ever seen. It's just painful to watch.
This movie, everything had so much purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would call it. Everything had so much purpose in it that, like, even the bad guy. Remember how, you know how we talk about bad guys all the time in Naruto movies and they're just the worst thing ever?
Yeah.
Well, this bad guy had somewhat good purpose. Not the best, but he is by far one of the best enemies from a Naruto movie.
Mm-hmm.
He is the best Naruto bad guy from a movie,
mm-hmm.
You know? So I would say that this movie was definitely perfect. It was, in out of Naruto context, 10 out of 10. Watch Boruto.
Sounds good to me.
Now, should we talk about the new season of anime that we had?
Yeah, let's discuss a few different seasons of anime, because
let's talk about the ones that we've both seen.
Okay, so have you seen Hackadolls?
I saw the first episode.
Okay, so
it was annoying.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I'm not really super keeping up with Hackadolls. It's a short anime this season. I'm watching a lot of the short anime.
Here's the thing. There's a new anime block out in Japan where it's all short animes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go on Crunchyroll and pretty much watch them all. And there are some that range from 7 minutes to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Including opening and closings.
So, Hackadolls is nothing but Moe Blob.
Yeah.
And
thank goodness it's only 7 minutes long.
Yeah, and I just watch it every once in a while just to be like, that's cool. Like, but
yeah, no, I won't even do that.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not super keeping up with it. To be honest, I'm still keeping up with Ushio and Tora.
Like, yeah!
That's amazing.
Oh, Ushio and Tora just keeps getting better and better.
Too bad it's going to end.
It's going to end awesome, though.
I hope so. That's the only short anime that I can really talk about that we're both watching.
Yeah, have you been watching the workout one? Yeah,
the
one
where it's like the Moe anime girls working out. Which
yep, I forgot about that.
Is slightly creepy in a pedophile
kind of
way.
Yeah, kind of. But I watch it because that is also very Moe Blob.
Like, it is super Moe Blob.
Like, it's just absurd. Like, they take every Moe trope. But this isn't the first instance that is, like, because they have movies of this stuff. This training thing. Like,
do they have anime workout videos?
No. Well, kind
of. They could make a gold mine off of this.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, but it's on Crunchyroll, and it's just a 3-minute short of a Moe girl doing two workouts. She teaches you how to do two workouts. She does 10 reps of it, and then that's it. And she's like, oh, you know, like the second episode was this blonde Moe girl's like, she's like a flat chest, but she's like, we're gonna work on chest, you know, exercises today. And then she imagines herself, then I can get bikinis and I can have big full breasts, you know?
Yeah, it's like to increase your bra size or whatever. And it's called Anime to Training EX is what the anime
easy enough
called. So this series, if I'm not mistaken, this series has had a workout movie before, and then they also have Takes a Bath, and they also have Sleeps, like, goes to bed.
Oh, it's like those video dating things, like, where you just watch a movie and it's like you're going on a date with this person.
Kinda
like, well, it's like a slice of life, but you're supposed to be there with them.
Yeah, it's a first person view kind of a deal.
That's so weird.
It is really weird. But anyway, I'm also watching one called Hakone-chan.
Uh-huh.
Which is about a spirit in a hot springs. So like,
oh, I saw that one, but I never started watching it.
Yeah, I've been watching it.
Is it any good?
It is good, but its shortness really is its downfall.
Like, I didn't know it was a short. I thought it was a half-hour anime.
No, it was a short anime. Every episode's only like 3 minutes long. It's cute, and it's kind of funny, but it's too short.
Yeah. I'm watching one called Komori-san Can't Decline, and that one is made by the same person who made I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying.
Yep, which I watched all of that.
And it's
that.
This one is 2 minutes long, which means there's a 30-second closing, which means the entire episode is only a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And the character designs in the show are really weird. The main character, Hakone, she's like this 6-foot tall, huge-breasted middle schooler who cannot say no. Anybody who asks her anything to do, she says yes. And so her lifely plight is that, you know, everybody asks her to do things. She says yes. She has no time for her own life. And it's really weird. The character designs in the show are really weird. It's not really that funny. There's, like, a punchline in every episode, but it's only 2 minutes. So it's not really a waste of anybody's time.
Let's go on to something that's more enjoyable from this season, which is I am enjoying the crap out of Attack on Titan Junior High.
I like Attack on Titan Junior High, but I'm not really, like, I could skip it.
I can't. I love it. I think it's so great. I love the cuteness of the Attack on Titan. It's essentially, if you guys seen Fist of the North Star DD, it's the same concept where it takes all the characters from the show that you already know and love and just exaggerates all of their personalities to hyperbole.
It is funny.
And you also get to learn the hidden meaning, like the hidden feelings of these characters towards other characters. Because they're just, they're like skyrocketed to what the fans have been speculating.
Yeah.
So if characters have feelings for one another, this show kind of
proves like straight up tells you.
Yeah, it proves it true. Almost. Yeah. Which is really bizarre.
Because there's this really weird love triangle between Eren, Mikasa, and Annie.
And Annie. And the episode, and the TV series really did no suggestion at all that Annie...
Everybody thought so.
Yeah, but this show proved... No, and that's the thing, like, I thought so, too. I was like, oh, I think Annie likes Eren because of the way she reacted to certain situations, but it never straight up told you. This show kind of straight up tells you that Annie likes Eren.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So...
They both like Cheeburg.
Yeah. I suggest you really, if you're an Attack on Titan fan, only watch it if you're an Attack on Titan fan. But watch it, because it's so funny. Like, I think the jokes are really spot on.
Well, speaking of humor, obviously, probably one of the best anime this season, which is One Punch Man. Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
it's so good.
Yeah, One Punch Man is easily one of the winners this season.
One of the best.
It's probably the winner this season. And it's so funny.
I think I actually might have a winner, myself. For myself, I have a different winner.
Really?
But for comedy,
this one takes the cake.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, because I haven't seen all the animes that you've been watching, but One Punch Man for me has been the best thing I've seen this season.
Yeah, One Punch Man is really good. The jokes hit home. And if you read the manga, too, it's just as good.
Yeah, the manga does a really, really good
job. But the animation is top-notch.
See, but the thing is, you get a little bit of extra funny because of the animation.
Yeah, because there's comedic timing and there's all that stuff, but it just comes across so well. One Punch Man, watch it. My pick for this season so far is Beautiful Bones.
Yeah, I haven't started watching
it. Oh my gosh, it is so good. Okay, so it is a crime drama about this kid who is this kind of... They haven't really defined what it is, but it's kind of like a partner in crime sort of thing with this eccentric female who lives in this mansion, and she collects bones of decaying animals and she puts them back together. Mm-hmm. So she creates skeletons, and she is obsessed with bones. She has no forensic science abilities whatsoever. Her boyfriend works for the crime scene investigators. She ends up solving crimes in the show. She finds bones, and she's like, all right, it's a mystery. Let's figure out what happened to this person, because she's so obsessed with bones. And she's like, let's see what happened to these bones. We can find out what happened to this person. And she ends up solving crimes. The police don't like that, but they allow her to do it anyways because she's so smart. And this kid is, like, you can't really figure out where he comes from yet because we're only in 3 episodes, but it's probably my favorite. I can't stop watching Beautiful Bones.
Well, I'm going to add that to my queue right now.
Yeah. It's really weird because the girl is so super eccentric and she has no people skills whatsoever, but she's super smart.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing this in the thing.
Yeah,
I can't believe I haven't added it yet.
And they go through these really awesome sciences, like real sciences and everything like that. Unlike Young Blackjack, which I watched this season as well, which is a doctor show. It's a kind of a prequel-remake of a really old 80s cartoon. And or maybe even before that.
No, it had a bunch of different. It had 80s, 90s, 2000s. Yeah, okay. Young Blackjack.
Young Blackjack, and I've tried it, and there's no real doctor stuff in there, which is kind of turning me off to it. It's okay, but I wouldn't suggest it per se. If you like doctor stuff, like if you really really miss ER, then watch Blackjack for sure. There's some weird crime stuff in it too, but Beautiful Bones for crime stuff. For sure.
Yeah. And I want to move on to a little bit because I've been watching some older stuff.
Uh-huh.
So first, I want to talk about with the recent announcement of Junji Ito being on the project for Silent Hills and now that's canceled. Yeah. I've been really just diving into Junji Ito, discovering what he's all about and getting really deep into that stuff. And I've watched Gyo. I know where to find Gyo and buy it, so I think I'm gonna go do that, and same with Uzumaki and all the short stories, because I'm totally into his horror stuff.
Kamakopia. Yeah. Kamakopia in Kenmore.
But I watched the anime movie for Gyo, and it's weird.
Super weird.
And I'm not talking about, obviously it's weird because it's Junji Ito, but I'm talking about, there's weird stuff in it, and you just be like, really, they made that artistic choice? But I loved it. It was great. It was just so unfortunate and sad. It's just you look at it and you're just like, I hope that never really happens,
For those of you who don't know, Gyo is about this parasite that takes over fish and it turns these fish into spider creatures. So, there's that whole scene with the shark that comes up. Picture a monster that is a shark and a spider all at the same time, and it's walking around your house.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
So, and Junji Ito is probably one of the manga masters of horror.
Yeah. If not, he is.
He's the manga master of horror because he just takes the uncanny valley and he knows how to run with it.
Yeah.
So
kicks you in the face with it.
So Gyo was really fun to watch, but I really want to try reading it and I really want to go that direction. So I watched that. That was really cool. But now, because of the recent announcement that there's going to be a fourth OVA series of Tenchi Muyo.
Yeah.
I have been rewatching Tenchi Muyo. So, and now this is the Ryooki series. So, Tenchi Muyo Ryooki 4 has been announced after 10 years of it not existing anymore. So, I'm going back and I'm rewatching season 1, 2, and 3 of Ryooki to refresh myself and get on it, because it's been years, like,
since... Not since Toonami.
Since Toonami. Jonathan and I were probably in elementary school when we were watching Tenchi. I've been rewatching it, and it's fantastic. It's, you know,
of course it is.
I mean, we really like harems here on Wicked Anime, or at least Jonathan and I do. Harems are great, so this is a really great harem to watch, if you can get a hold of it. Funimation really has all the Ryuokis, except for OVA 3, I think, but they have at least 1 and 2, and seasons 1 and 2 are fantastic. It's that really classic animation style. The English voice acting is awful, so I watch it in Japanese. And Ryoko is best girl. Ryoko is best girl in the series. Like, I am so for Ryoko. That's so great. So Tenchi Muyo and Ryuoki 4 is coming out. Keep an eye out. I can't wait. That's gonna be so great. Maybe he'll actually end the series. You know,
maybe he'll actually marry someone.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't think OVA 3 ends with him, and hopefully he doesn't do that stupid GXP excuse ending where he's like, oh, he's marry all the girls. Like, whatever. I hate those stupid. Like, actually choose a girl. Even if it's a girl, the girl you didn't want, when he chooses somebody, you still get a good ending. Like, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, you see everybody be okay with it. Like, they find a way to make it.
Yeah,
okay.
They accept it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's move on to our Tapagotchi then.
Before we go into Tapagotchi, we have a toy shelf.
We do?
Yeah. So we have a fan requested toy shelf.
Okay.
So, this weekend we were supposed to have a Monster Hunter weekend, but unfortunately life got in the way, so we're going to try to have a Halloween hunt. Hopefully the Halloween hunt has already happened, but, you know.
Didn't you have fun?
Yeah. But with the discussions going on with our regular hunters who usually show up, we always get Monster Hunter suggestions and recommendations, and one of which is we made a new Monster Hunter fan, Temsu. Out of this, he's really been getting into it, which I am thrilled to hell. Because Monster Hunter is one of my favorite things ever, and the fact that Temsu just really took to it, he wanted to play with us, and now he's a Monster Hunter fan like the rest of us, is so cool. He's actually making it really far on his own. He got to high ranks in Ogre.
Yeah, he's making it way farther than I ever would.
Yeah.
Ever.
Not me, though, because I'm still ahead of him.
I suck at Monster Hunter.
Keep going, Temsu. You got it, man. I bet you can surpass us. Now, he said, for Toy Shelf, I've been collecting the Monster Hunter box figures.
Aren't those things great?
Yeah, and he said, I would like to request that you talk about the box figures for Toy Shelf.
Yeah.
And I said, okay.
We have them.
I do.
A lot of them.
I have a lot of, because I like to try to find my favorite monsters out of these. I have a select few of my favorite monsters. I still haven't gotten a Zenogre, but I do have an Azuros and I do have a Gabool, which is really cool.
I got a couple too. I got a Baroth. I got a Jade Baroth.
Do you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I bought it, remember?
Yeah.
We were at Anime Boston one year.
Somebody had
him out of box for like $2 more. I was like, $2 more? Yeah! And then I threw it that way. I got my Jade Baroth.
And it's the same thing with, so they do have the monsters from the box figures, but they also have felines.
Which is pretty awesome.
Which is really awesome to me. Because I've been collecting the feline box figures, and I have a couple different armors, and I have a whole bunch of feline armors that I didn't want, and the reason is because I was searching for one feline figure that I wanted, which is the Rathian armor, like a feline in a Rathian armor. It just looks so cool.
Yeah, I remember you picking up the boxes, feeling for the heavier one.
Yeah, I was like,
and you thought you had it, but that ended up being the same one that you already had.
Two of the So, anyway, the Monster Hunter box figures are really, really cool.
Really detailed.
The detail on them is cool, is great. You know, they're almost like how when you get, like, a Gachapon thing, and you have to put them together a little bit.
Yeah, they come in little pieces. Tiny pieces.
But the detail is really good. They look spot on to the monsters. Like, the 3D model, it's almost like they 3D printed the model to do it. But I would really like a Zenogre. Don't you have a Zenogre?
Do I?
I think you
the
do.
The one with the electric.
Yeah,
I do.
So I want one of my own. I want the Stygian Zenogre, because that's the armor that I'm grinding out right now.
I don't
now.
Know what you're talking about.
The black one? The black and white? That's the armor that I'm trying to put on.
Okay, sure.
but that's what I want. So yes, Monster Hunter figures are awesome. The quality is always really high. I even have some, like, bigger figures, but this one's on the box figures specifically.
Yeah.
So thanks, Temsu, for recommending that. yes, box figures are awesome. I'm absolutely a collector of box figures.
Yeah, and box figures in general too. Christine especially, she's obsessed with them. She tells me not to make her not buy them because she is completely obsessed with them. Yeah. The mystery boxes, I don't know. I think that's like as far as I will ever go with gambling because you win no matter what.
I know. Well, because the thing is now they have the Heroes of the Storm one, the Blizzard.
Yeah.
Blizzard box figures. And Nova, the ghost, the sniper ghost,
yeah,
is my favorite StarCraft character. But she's like 1 in 50. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So when StarCraft 2 came, it's almost like exactly like StarCraft 2. You had to get to a certain level in multiplayer to get the Nova icon.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like...
impossible.
She was the last tier one. I was like, of course Nova is the last tier to get. And then it's just... now Nova is the most impossible one box figure to get. I hate that my favorite character in all of StarCraft is so untangible to
yeah,
me.
And you even lost it at StarCraft Ghost, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah, she was supposed to be the main character in StarCraft
Ghost. Blizzard is trying to make Nova the most intangible character they have ever created.
Ugh. Okay, that's enough of box figures. Yay, Temsu, cool. Toy shelf box figures. Now we move on to our Tamagotchi.
So for this Tamagotchi... we want to talk about more of... we did a starter kit a while ago, like a long time ago, but there's got to be a second step for somebody who, like... okay, so we're just going to get into it. Let's talk about Victor Jump. He was on the last episode.
Victor.
And he really needed to break away from the Shonen Jump, so he wanted to see more stuff. So what better of a subject to test our...
yeah, okay, so we actually did a test run of an intermediate kit. Of what the heck do you show somebody who is familiar with anime, or like Victor did, he's only familiar with the shonen stuff.
Yeah, they know what it is and they're interested in it.
Yeah, so what do you show next?
Yeah.
And so we ran with the starter kit.
Yeah.
The first thing I showed him, I had him kind of look through our shelves and check everything out. And we, you know, obviously me and you rave about Cowboy Bebop and we rave about a whole bunch of different
things. Well, you have to, yeah. Cowboy Bebop,
He wanted to start with Samurai Champloo.
Okay, yeah, so there you go.
And we watched Samurai Champloo, and he loved it. You know, he wants to finish it, he wants to know more. So that is a really good starter. If you're not starting with Cowboy Bebop, start with Samurai Champloo.
Rest in peace, Studio Mangold.
I know. But the thing is he was watching Samurai Champloo, and he was just like... is there gore in this? I was like, well, it's bloody and limbs fly off every once in a while, but it's not gory per se. And I was like, why? Do you want to watch a gory one? And he looked at me and he was like, yeah, I do. I was just like...
oh, what are you going to show him, Andrew? Yeah.
So I introduced Victor to Elfin Lied.
Man, surprise, surprise.
Well, technically, he didn't want to watch Helsing. He told me that he's not yet interested in watching Helsing. So I introduced him to Elfin Lied, which is probably one of the goriest animes I've ever seen. He really took to it. It was really weird. It might have helped that it was my favorite anime and it was me introducing my favorite anime to my friend. But something about the story, the way that I saw it, you know, the tragedy and...
no, it doesn't work that way at all.
What?
Introducing friends to anime never usually works out that way.
Yeah.
It's a really weird thing. It's like, oh, you gotta watch it, you know, and then, and they're like, no.
But either way, it really got Victor and I on this kick where he wanted to read the manga. So both me and him at this current moment are reading the manga again. Like, I'm reading it again. He's reading it for the first time. And it's really great rediscovering it. And it makes me so sad and just breaking my heart all over again. Oh, my favorite story on the face of the planet. But
you're kidding me. Tell us that again.
If you have a friend who's interested in something that's violent or gory, it works.
Yeah. It's really hard to read. Like, we talked about this during the starter kit, too, that there's so many different genres. It's really hard to say exactly which ones, you know, your friends are gonna really like.
Yeah.
Because... I mean, there are people out there who... I don't know. Is it possible that there's anybody out there who won't like Cowboy Bebop? Probably only somebody who likes romance stuff.
Yeah, see, if they don't like Cowboy Bebop, then you should just kill them.
Yeah. Easy solution.
Yeah, you know, because
there's no reason for life at all at that moment. If you don't like Cowboy Bebop, you're wrong.
Which is what we watch next. So after we had watched those first couple, we threw in Cowboy Bebop to introduce him to the classic of all classics. And he really took to that as well, but in a different way than, say, something like Samurai Champloo, which is, you know, the spiritual prequel to what Cowboy Bebop was.
It's almost in the same way that everybody says that the original draft of Star Wars was a Western.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, and so if Star Wars was a Western, that would be if Cowboy Bebop was an Edo period
kind of
show.
Because Cowboy Bebop's kind of a Western as well.
Well, yeah, but in space. Yeah. You could say the same thing. You could say the same thing about Star Wars. Star Wars is kind of Western. They're in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
There's robots in the desert, man. It's obviously a Western.
And then other things that I introduced him to that night were Fist of the North Star we watched. And
that was the one that he liked the least.
Yeah, but he understood why I showed it to him, is the thing. Regardless of whether or not you like Fist of the North Star or not, it's important to understand where anime came from. So, I mean, because Fist of the North Star was...
Well, that's true.
Fist of the North Star was inspired by Mad Max... And then Kenshiro is a mixture of, you know, Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris and Max, of course, because he's even dressed like Mad Max. And then, of course, if you don't have characters like Kenshiro, then you don't have Goku and you don't have, I don't know, any main character in a shonen series. I mean, this thing's been running since the 80s.
You don't have a hero.
Yeah, especially like an anime hero, because like the whole...
Somebody knows justice, right from wrong, whole thing.
So, that's the real benefit of at least seeing Fist of the North Star. But, you know, of course, we love Fist of the North Star. That's one of our favorites. I have that whole, I bought that absurd, you know, 21-disc set of the complete Fist of the North Star.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that. And then, after that, we watched Azumanga Daioh.
That's really strange. I mean, because that one was on our original starter kit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's... That's good because we were like, we tried the, if you like Azumanga Daioh, then you'll really like Nichijou.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like Nichijou at all. Like, mm-hmm. like he hated it. And I thought that was weird because Nichijou is one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah, Nichijou is the best.
And Azumanga Daioh, he just connected with a lot more because I guess it's a lot more normal. But the weird thing is it's not.
Yeah, it's smoother, I guess. I mean, it's a lot slower pace.
For those who need a frame of reference, we're talking about slice of life anime, and slice of life tend to either be dramas, complete and total dramas of everyday life, or they're absurd Japanese comedies. And absurd Japanese comedies are great, but Azumanga Daioh is like a lighter version of the absurd Japanese comedy. There's really weird stuff in it, but it's not necessarily affecting the show 100%.
Yeah.
Whereas in Nichijou,
you really have to understand Japanese.
You totally do. Like, because there are jokes that are delivered in that are so super Japanese that you really need an understanding for. And, you know, it was weird. It never hit me. At that point, until we showed Victor.
Yeah, because I think the show is hilarious. Like, I am just dying laughing in that show, but people will sit there and with a blank stare and being like, what am I watching?
I have no idea what I'm watching. This doesn't make any sense to me, you know? Yeah.
So, but I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to watch a movie. So, probably the best movie we could have shown him. We never got to Akira, and we really got a... You know, get together and then watch Akira. Cause
you think so? I don't think he'd like it.
Well, he's the one who wanted to do it. So we showed him our favorite director of all time, which is, of course,
Mamoru
Hosoda. So we showed him Summer Wars.
Which he had seen the Digimon movie.
Yes, he did see the Digimon movie beforehand. Which, Summer Wars is a different take on the Digimon movie, where the Digimon movie is not Mamoru Hosoda's property. But so he wanted to make a movie...
But it is his story.
Yeah, so he wanted to make a movie that was his own property. That was like... And it's not the Digimon movie. It just has elements of the Digimon movie. Because it's a very different story.
You can see the similarities for sure.
You can definitely see the similarities.
But you can also tell where it's like that... Like, you see something happen in Summer Wars, and you'll be like, nah, that definitely wouldn't happen in the other movie.
And then, of course, and after we showed him that, he fell in love with it the same way we did.
Yeah.
And, in my brain, I always have a constant battle between what's my favorite, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time or Summer Wars. Mm-hmm. And he really wants to see Girl Who Leapt Through Time after that. And Wolf Children.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know what he also saw, too, that he took a very strange liking to, which I didn't expect right off the bat, was Love Hina.
Love Hina.
We showed him Love Hina, and it was that was the harem, you know, like, okay, this is a harem, you know. So,
yeah,
and in a sense, we're showing him subgenres that you only find in anime. Like, that's what the intermediate anime kit is all about, is you go into harem, slice of life, you know, all those sorts of things.
That's right. You take away the basic genre and you add the subgenre.
Like the Hollywood ones, which is horror, action, adventure, comedy, you know, and drama. You take away all those
and you go into indie movies.
You go into indie movie and you dive deeper. So we get harems and seinen and
slice of life.
Slice of life. All that stuff. So
supernatural, all that cool.
Yeah, so we broke into that, and but anyways, he really hooked on to Love Hina, and because of that, he also wanted to check out the manga for that.
Yeah, so
as well.
he actually bought a couple volumes of the manga. So the most successful things that came out of our intermediate, we had actually doing a test run of the intermediate starter kit, was Samurai Champloo, Love Hina, Elfin Lied, and of course Summer Wars. So that was our final test run. Or not our final test run, but our successful test run of the intermediate kit. So
yeah, there are things out there to break people away and dive them deeper. Because now I feel like our test subject, Victor, is going to be far more into anime than he ever has been. We're going to turn him into a true otaku.
Well, like I said, we've been reading Elfin Lied at parallel to each other now.
God, what have we done?
Yeah, he messages me and he's just like, Andrew, thank you. Like, Elfin Lied is the greatest. And I was just like, I know. Yeah, I know it
oh,
is.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I'm happy about that. And then he'll start reading Love Hina and being like, Jonathan, Love Hina's awesome. I'm going to read that next after I finish my final stretch of Naruto.
Yeah, that's right, because you're almost done.
I am. I have the final volume, which is the one that I've been trying to get to, which is that final volume.
Yeah,
this
is really what you wanted to read through all this.
I know, I just wanted to read the epilogue, but I could have, if I wanted to, just gone right to the epilogue, but I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to just read the epilogue. I wanted to know everything.
Yeah. All right. So how about some fan service?
Yep.
We talked a lot about fan service in the show, as we usually do, but we have some leftovers.
Yep.
And not that they're leftovers as in they're unimportant, but we have some stuff that will fit into this category
more
of
fan service. So, Wicked Fan Cameron sends us a message on Facebook, and he says, I just watched I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying, and I thought it was pretty funny. What do you guys think of the anime?
Okay, well, I really liked it.
Yeah, me too.
It had this strange charm to it.
Yeah, I think I was the one who watched it first.
Probably, but I had an interest in watching it, but you actually did watch it.
Yeah, and essentially I was just like, it's good. You know, yeah. I really...
It's worth your 3 minutes.
It is. It's absolutely worth 3 minutes. I almost kind of wish it was longer. I don't know. Maybe a 7-minute episode? But...
The character designs in those shows are always so weird to me. And his characters are such caricatures of themselves. Like, you know...
How do you make a caricature of a character? Like, that's already like a cartoon character.
Well, they figured it out. All you do is you just take one specific thing and only make them do that. That's what defines a caricature, is you have a character that is meant for one specific purpose, and you only make them do that one specific purpose. I loved it.
Yeah, so Cameron, we also think that I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying is very funny.
Yeah,
and I'm totally into it. I love the mini stories that go on. It's really funny. I enjoy it.
Sometimes I had to rewind the video, though, because the text goes by so fast. There are so many words in that show.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But some of the little anime jokes that they make are just really spot on, and it's funny. So yeah, we like it, Cameron.
Creepy with the husband's brother, though.
Oh yeah, that is really just bizarre. Yeah. It's just bizarre.
There's like a little bit of Shotokan incest elements.
Shonen-ai.
No, not Shonen-ai. Shotokan. I know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know what you mean now. Yeah. Next, Wicked fan Gerardo sent us along his harem story, kind of like how we were going through our harems in that last episode. Now he kind of took part in it, like
We've had quite a few.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a really good response because it's a fun thing to do. You know, kind of imagine that stuff.
It's story writing.
Yeah. Okay, so Gerardo says this took a bit of thinking to finally get it down, but he wants to base it in the Monster Hunter world. Now, of course, Gerardo...
Nerd!
Yeah, we're all Monster Hunter nerds together. It's like one of our favorite things to do. He's one of our regular hunters. Every time we do it, it's a blast. We have a great time. And so he says the main love interest is the son of the leader of the chief of the village.
I am really glad that he did not make a monster harem, per se. The Zenogre really likes the...
Yeah.
Other monster that I can't think of at the moment because this joke is too complicated.
For you.
Anyway. For me, yeah.
So anyway, main love interest is the son of the chief of the village, and he has to prove himself by slaying monsters, but he sucks at it. So he seeks the aid of four girls from the village who will help him in a team. And okay, so the four love interests are the light bow gunner, who is small and frail, but is the backbone of the team, being the main support character. So traps and first aid, that kind of a support character. And her moral compass is a little shattered as she can lose her cool under stress. Next, the Tomfa, she displays confidence in herself and her physical abilities. She's very competitive to the point of her doing everything so she can win.
Tomfa girl is best girl.
I knew you were going to say that. Which she can lead to the destruction of a plan the team has set.
Yes. I'm on board with Tomfa. Tomfa girl is best girl.
The Lancer, whom is very caring and will go out of her way to protect the team at all costs, very afraid of bugs to the point of running away from battle. Lancer girl is best girl. And lastly, the Hunting Horn is energetic and sociable. She writes and performs many songs all the time, but is very insecure, which leads her to doubting herself and her friend for her friends. So that'd be weird. She's like the bard character. You know, if you have a hunting horn, that means you buff all your characters and you give them health boosts and stuff like that. But I hate this song.
But you don't boost yourself.
Yeah. Oh. And finally, we have Scott. Scott, Wicked fan Scott sends us along an email talking about time skips.
That was a little while ago.
Yeah, stories with time skips. And he says that an author that does this a lot is Naoki Urasawa, who did Monster and 20th Century Boys.
Oh, those are good stories.
Yeah. So
that I haven't read yet.
That we just know they're good stories that we haven't gotten
to. Well, I've heard a lot about 20th Century Boys, and I'm super into it.
Yeah, I really gotta get on that. Next, he also says that Bakano has a bunch of skips because it goes from 1930, 1931, to 1932, which we have that all on DVD, but I haven't watched it yet.
That one is tough to get into. First couple episodes are rough.
So finally, Scott gives us an American TV adaption, because he's British, says he really did not like the time skipping between Arrow and Flash, because there's a 6-month gap between the season finale and the season opener of those shows.
I'm okay with that. I haven't seen these two shows, but I'm okay with that, and the fact that you can understand the reason why they do that is there's nothing of importance whatsoever that happens in that time.
Yeah, but I think what Scott's talking about is that it just didn't work.
I suppose that definitely comes along with bad writing, but yeah. I think that's the show's fault rather than the fact that there's a time skip, because the time skip that of that length is totally okay when you write it, but you have to understand that as long as you know that nothing important happens, like, for example, remember what was the there was a Hollywood movie where they talk about all these great adventures that they had that one time. Just like that time you left me doing this, and then it's like, oh, that was a great adventure that's better than the one we're watching right now.
Oh, that was Star Wars. Okay. That was episode 2.
Yeah, okay. So you can't do that. Like, you have to ensure the audience. You have to be so specific that to the audience, hey, in these 6 months, you did not miss a thing. It's not important. If you watched these 6 months, you would have been bored out of your mind. You want to make that absolutely clear to the audience when you do a time skip like that.
Yeah. So, granted, we have not seen...
No, we haven't.
We have not seen any Flash or Arrow, so...
I have started watching Gotham, though. Ooh, it's good.
So, thank you, Scott, for sending along that, and thank you, fans, for sending along all of your fan service to us. And I think that's all we have for this episode, right?
Yeah, I guess it's time to move on to some shameless plugs.
That's right. So if you guys want to join in on the conversation, maybe you have some intermediate suggestions, maybe you have experience with some of your intermediate friends who wanted to branch out and find something more.
Yeah, I wonder what they've shown people, like, hey...
So yeah, animes that have really taken.
One thing that I'm kind of interested in, too, is what method do you use to get people to watch the anime you want them to watch? Because that is the hardest thing to do.
No, mine came pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to watch something gory.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine, but it's really hard to do. It's like, you know, be obsessive. Oh, you gotta watch your show. And then they say, no, you're creeping me out.
Well, because you overhype your own show or your suggestion, and then they're like, you overhype this. I'm not really that excited about it.
I want to hate it now.
So, if you guys want to tell us, give us your suggestions, give us your stories, you can email us at... WickedAnimeReviews@gmail.com. That's WickedAnimeReviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at Facebook.com/WickedAnime, where we post forums and notes and news stories, and you guys can chat with us and do whatever the heck you want, because Facebook is awesome, I guess.
it's popular of sorts.
And of course, you can find us over at the Nerdy Show Network. If you're not already listening to... Our podcast over there, where you can also listen to it at soundcloud.com/wickedanime and on iTunes. That's nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. And you can also find our videos there. But where else can you find our videos? You can find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. Main hub of our show, we have some new episodes in production right now. Have some in writing, have some in almost recording, maybe.
We have scripts, but scripts don't make videos on their own.
Nope.
Oy.
It's really annoying. Like, we really gotta find a way to make scripts just... I'm done! Woo! Yeah. Dragon Technology. Maybe Dragon Technology could be like, hey, you know how you speak and the text came out? Now we edit for you, too. That's great.
Maybe.
We have all of our episodes in Microsoft Sam. Where was I? You can find us at Twitter, where you can tweet at us, @YoWickedAnime. And tweet at us all the time cool pictures and cool messages from around the web. Just make sure they're tiny messages, because Twitter doesn't like anything longer than a whole bunch of weird letters. And then you can find us at wickedanime.tumblr.com, where we tumble things that we find are funny. We are all over the internet. Speaking of all over the internet, finally, we are over on Twitch now. And you can find us at twitch.com/wickedanaplay. So Wicked Anna Play is our new channel, where we go on and stream, and we stream weird anime things, not any multiplayer stuff yet, but once we get things like Tekken and Street Fighter and Naruto going, we hope to jump on with you fans right now, you know? That'll be wicked fun. I think it would be great streaming with our fans.
So guys, that's all for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We will see you next time. I don't know if I'm going to be on the next episode or not. I got to plan it out, because I'm going to be in Tampa at a con.
Yeah, ShadowCon.
I'm going to be at ShadowCon. And Andrew's going to be at Rhode Island Comic Con, but I don't know how long he's going to be at that for. We're going to have to find out. But anyways, if I'm not there, I'll see you next time. That will be the first episode that I will not be recording on.
Right.
You haven't been on episodes before, but I've been on every episode since then.
I wasn't on one episode because I was sick.
Yeah, well, I've been on an episode 3 or 4 times that I'm sick, especially all of our post-con episodes.
Whatever.
Anyways, guys, we'll talk to you next time, and we'll see you on the interwebs. It's time to sign off the only way we know how. K-bye! watch it?
Not really. I'll show you later.
Well, I mean, like, maybe we can comment on it and then save it for the end.
Nah.
No?
It's long.
Is it really that, like, is it not really that interesting?
It's just Super Mario Brothers.
But in 5 minutes, though.
Okay, so watching this video, obviously the video was made because he beat the game.
Right.
But all the stuff he does because of how fast he does it, I just get so nervous that he's going to die. Like, it's unbelievable.
So there's a lot of precision that takes place in this. Like,
yeah.
In one single frame misstep and it's over.
And, like, jump seconds. Like, he does little micro jumps before he does a big jump, so that he actually has a rhythm and a pattern of when he's gonna jump. See? Like, what the heck?
He just ran, like, right under that Goomba. Oh, man.
And there are warp pipes he goes through that I didn't even know existed. See how he's, like, doing that jump thing?
So he's on World 4 now already. Because of the warp pipe behind the second level. Everybody knows about that one.
See? Oh! Like, what the heck, dude?
Right by that pit. Oh, he jumped right over that flower.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Right over the piranha plant, and he touched the piranha plant. No fireworks.
No.
Okay, so he's on World 4, too. What does he go to after this?
Warp Pipe 8. See, like, that warp pipe, I had no idea it was there.
And he's still on 4, too. Oh, okay, yeah. So then he goes to 8. I wish you could hear the audio of it so that you can go, like, you hear him go, yeah, after he beats it. I wonder how many times he needed to play this before he got it.
It's so ridiculous. And I think the next level, he, like, breaks the game.
Oh, and he disappears.
Yeah, he went into the background.
He went into the background?
And the flag still raises.
Uh-huh.
Like, how did he do that?
Oh, okay, so...
He must have been freaking out. Unless he knew that was going to happen.
He probably knew it was going to happen. Oh, he stopped there. You could have saved a couple seconds if you didn't do that.
I don't know. Which means that there is a possible faster speedrun in the works.
Yeah. I mean, I saw him. He's already gotten caught up twice. So does that mean that there could be a possible faster run? I bet you he'll do it. What?! Okay, he went down a pipe that had a piranha plant in it. Like, it was up and raised.
And he double jumped off of that one.
Like, he wall jumped?
And he almost missed that pipe. He almost ran right by that pipe. So he can save a couple seconds by doing that, too.
He touched that fireball. And he did it, right? That's it?
The end.
He is hero. He is champion. Wicked
A! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like, and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.